So, welcome, dear devotees, to this Srimad Bhagavatam class. It's my first class I give here in the temple, so I beg for your blessings that Krishna says something relevant through me and that I be an instrument of Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You can chant all together Mangala Charanam. Om Ajnana Timandasya Kinchana Shalakaya Shakshuram Mritam Yena Tasmai Shri Govave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Garamayam Tadati Swapadandikam Vandeham Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakachatam Sahagana Ragutatam Tambitam Sajivam Satvaitam Savadutam Parichana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Adha Krishna Padan Sahagana Laita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Ganjana Gorangi Rati Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanusute Devi Panamami Haripe Vansha Kalpada Upyascha Kipa Sundubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Babu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Shri Shuka Uvacha Yaisha Utanapadu Manavasya Nuvanita Angshapiya Fatasyapi Nibhuta Nipasattama Shukadev Goswami continued. O best of kings, King Parikshit, I have now finished telling about the descendants of the first son of Svayambhuvamanu, Uttanapada. I shall now try to relate the activities of the descendants of Priyavrata, the second son of Svayambhuvamanu. Please hear them attentively. Dhruvamaharaj was the son of King Uttanapada, and as far as the descendants of Dhruvamaharaj or King Uttanapada are concerned, the activities have been described up to the point of the Prachetas. Now, Sri Shukadev Goswami desires to describe the descendants of Maharaj Priyavrata, the second son of Svayambhuvamanu. Since I haven't really attended the last Bhagavatam's class because I'm in the Bhakti Vaibhava in the mornings, I thought I first start with a summary of what happened before, how we actually came to the story of the Prachetas. So before in the fourth canto we heard about Dhruva Maharaj and later about Maharaj Prithu, who is an incarnation of Krishna himself. Prithu Maharaj was a devotee of the Lord, and he met the four Kumaras and he got instructions by Sanat Kumara to perform pure devotional service. Then when he got older and was about to leave his body, he entered the forest and absorbed in yoga, pranayama, and meditation. He fixed his mind upon Krishna and went back to his spiritual world. And his wife Archie also followed him in his funeral fire and did sati and also went back to the spiritual world. Then the eldest son of Prithu Maharaj is Vichitasva, who's as well a pure devotee, and his son is Bahishat, who's also known as Prachinabarhi. Prachinabarhi got 10 children who are known as the Prachetas, and he wanted them to get married. Therefore, he sent them outside to perform austerities. So, and on their way, the Prachetas met Lord Shiva, who instructed them about the absolute truth and gave them a very, very powerful prayer. So then the Prachetas, they entered the sea or the ocean, and underwater they performed for 10,000 years austerity and meditating upon the prayer which Lord Shiva gave them. And after 10,000 years, Vishnu appeared in front of them, being very pleased with them, and he instructed them to marry a girl which is the daughter of an apsara and sage Kandu, and which is kept by the trees in the forest. So after 10,000 years, the Prachetas come out of the water and they see the whole earth have been overgrown, like full with trees. There are no fields or any place where the man could grow grains or vegetables. So they became very angry at the trees and started to burn them down, and said that fire came out of their mouth similarly, fire comes out of the mouth of Lord Vishnu at the end of the world when destruction takes place. So the trees became very afraid and they prayed for help, and Brahma gave them the order to give their daughter to them as a wife. So finally the Prachetas became married to this girl, and it's unusual that one girl is married to many men, but Vishnu described that this is proper to do because they both have the same qualification, that they are both devotees of the Lord and very dedicated. So from the Prachetas and this girl, then Daksha was born. And he became a Prajapati or a progenitor who was supposed to generate living entities. And So then later on, the Prachetas in their life, also when they were going to meet death soon, they left home to perform yoga and fix their mind upon Krishna, and Narada came to see them, and the chapter we are now in, the last chapter of the fourth canto, is called Narada Instructs the Prachetas. So Narada gave them their final instruction what they shall do. And he says that they shall perform devotional service because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of all self-realization. And therefore, the goal of karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti, and so on is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, living entities generate from earth and return to earth as dust. Similarly, everything emanates from Krishna and returns into him. And therefore, they shall fix their mind upon Krishna. So, I actually prepared for the verse before because that was written on the schedule. So, I will mainly speak upon what is written there. So, I will read this. This whole conversation about Dhruva Maharaj, King Prithu, the Prachetas, was in a conversation between Vidura and Maitreya Muni, and Vidura was on his travels and was just open to return to Hastinapura. So then Maitreya says, "My dear Vidura, I have told you everything you wanted to know about the conversation between Narada and the Pranchitas, the conversation describing the glories of the Lord. I have related this as far as possible." Nanda Prabhupada, "Srimad Bhagavatam describes the glories of the Lord and his devotees, because the whole subject matter is the glorification of the Lord. Naturally, the glorification of his devotees automatically follows." So I found it very interesting that Prabhupada describes in the Prabhupada that the whole subject matter is the glorification of the Lord, and that's actually what the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is about, the glorification of the Lord and the glorification of his devotees. And why does the glorification of his devotees automatically follow? It's because Krishna performs his lilas or pastimes together with the devotees, and Krishna wants his devotees to be glorified because he likes them so much. And for example, is Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna could have killed all these men himself, but he wanted to let it to Arjuna and his devotees so that his devotees get glorified for the victory. So, also in Srimad Bhagavad Gita it said, "Satatam kitayanto mam," always chanting my glories. So the devotees are always engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord. And therefore we have so many stories or conversations in the Bhagavatam, first between Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami, then between the sages or Naimisharanya and Sutta Goswami, or like here between Vidura and Maitreya Muni. That's one of the priority activities of a devotee, to speak about Krishna and glorify other devotees. And it's one of the limbs of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So Vishnu Smaranam, always remembering the Lord's activities. So we are meant to fill our mind with this, to speak a lot of Krishna Katha and to let our mind become Vrindavan, to enter into the Leelas. Vingupahari Prabhu mentioned yesterday that it's not the goal in life to remember Krishna at the time of death, but even before. Our goal should be before, that we want to reach Krishna in this life, we want to see Krishna in this life, we want to enter Vrindavan or the holy Dham in this life, we want to attain this consciousness. And therefore we have to make some endeavor. We cannot just think, oh yeah, at the end of my life, yeah, I will remember Krishna, probably. Then I will chant with eagerness on everything. No, we should start now, practicing now, because death can come any time, or we don't know what is happening in our lives. And the whole movement Srila Prabhupada gave us is meant to expand the glories of Krishna, of Vrindavan, through temples, Harinam, Srimad Bhagavatam class, through books which we distribute. Everything is just meant to spread the glories of Krishna. And these stories, they're actually so wonderful because they really capture our mind. There's so many interesting stories, like for example about Lord Jagannath and the Ratha Yatra, or about Lord Chaitanya. And so the mind can become very very quickly become attracted to all these stories, and and it's said in the first verse of Shikshashtakam, Chidodapanamachanam, that the holy name, or also similarly like form, quality, names, stories about Krishna. All this is the nectar we are always anxious for. So this story, they are very, very enlightening and very, I don't know, very happy stories. They just make us very happy. And Gopal Hari Prabhu spoke yesterday about the austerities of body, mind, and soul, and the austerity of the mind is to be always satisfied. So by hearing Krishna Katha, we can actually become, because we feel the need in our heart, we feel kind of satisfied, and therefore all our other desires vanquish, and we just, our mind just becomes calm and peaceful. And I think that's a very nice quality, and this is necessary to become detached from the world and to really think more about Krishna, to become attached to Krishna. I think it's very important to speak more about Krishna during the day amongst devotees. If you sit down for prasadam, for example, we can just speak more about Krishna or the glories of devotees or how the Sankirtan movement is spreading. And it's just so fascinating stories. And the opposite of Krishna Katha is actually gossip of devotees or things, gossip of devotees. And I saw amongst this DVD series about Prabhupada remembrance. And one of the last two DVDs, I think it was a story by Mula Prakriti Mataji. And she told a story when she was standing in the corridor in front of Prabhupada's room, and she was talking to other devotees, and then Prabhupada suddenly called her inside, and Prabhupada asked her, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, we're just speaking about the other devotees and what they are doing and how they are." And Prabhupada said, very, very grave, "That's gossip. Gossip destroys the movement." And this story really struck me in wonder, and it always kept in my remembrance because these words were so strong by Prabhupada, that just speaking a little bit here and there and what others are doing or maybe laughing about others is not very well appreciated by Prabhupada. He likes more that we look forward to Krishna or to like what service we can do for Krishna, and not so much look at the others, what they are doing. And we should find our own bhajan or inner bhajan and connection with Krishna. Or we should really build up our relationship with Krishna, because otherwise we will always remain empty and we'll look for relationships outside. We will be very attached to our friends, even if they are devotee friends. But I've been in the Bhaktivedanta Manor for Bhakta program, and I was amazed, like, the devotees, they were a whole day in the service, and they hardly kind of spoke to each other, or like, their association were mainly the morning programs and things like that, or during service when they were together doing something, but their association was not much kind of doing some free time activity together. And there were some days where I felt a little bit kind of lonely, or like felt just the need to talk to somebody, and I was wondering how these other devotees don't have the problem that they have the need for this. And I could see that was because Krishna was so pleased with their service, so Krishna was reciprocating, and they had a very strong connection with Krishna in their hearts. It's not that we, sometimes maybe it looks a little bit impersonal, you know, devotees just doing their thing, and maybe some visitors who come to the temple, then they get the impression like nobody was talking to me or something like that. We should be also careful that we welcome visitors to the temple and that we are kind to each other and speak to each other. But the main thing in this life is to build up our relationship with Krishna within the heart. And then all the relationships to all other living entities, devotees, beings, becomes much more on a different level, on a higher level, because then suddenly you realize they are parts of Krishna, and you can appreciate them as souls, as devotees of Krishna. You are not so much anymore concerned with their maybe stupid habits or how they look like or what they are doing. You just see them, they're nice spiritual souls. They're just how they are. They are, and yeah, nothing in this world is like really a negative, because this duality is just from our material experience. Something is good or bad. We can maybe more see, okay, maybe someone is acting just under the mood of tamagun or something, but it's Krishna's energy which makes that person act in a specific way. It's not that person really doing it or choosing it. Sometimes we just have to see that behind everything is Krishna. And Krishna is the controller of everything. So, and that can make us very humble to accept every situations in which we are in, because Krishna created these situations and our service is just to do our best, or to try to do our best and follow in the footsteps of our acharyas and following their instructions how to perform devotional service. One quality of a devotee that's written in Bhagavad Gita 16.3 is aversion to fault finding. And I like this very much, because it's really something we maybe can start practicing. In my Bhakti Shastri, which is just a few months ago in Vrindavan, we had with Adipurusha Prabhu exercise, like from this verse, Bhagavad Gita 16.3, we should choose one quality, and then one day we should find five persons who have this quality. And then the next day we should choose another quality and find again five devotees of that quality. And then after that he gave us the exercise like to speak what we observed, and then to speak which the qualities we appreciate in other devotees. And I really felt like a change in my consciousness, because suddenly I was looking, searching for good qualities in others. Because usually you're just, okay, this devotee and blah blah, and I don't like this about him, or like you're so much confronted with the things you're like, you have an aversion to, like, oh, I don't like this. But this exercise really made one looking for good qualities in everyone around us. Does he have this quality? Maybe he has it. Or like, it was really amazing exercise, and if you like to try it, I can just recommend it. Krishna himself likes glorifying devotees, or he's speaking often about his devotees. So, for example, Krishna is speaking about the gopis, how selfless they are. And all these stories about Krishna, they're very, very cooling to the mind. They just let everything stop around. They just, if we really absorbed, our mind becomes peaceful. And we just have the course about Vedanta's Vedanta philosophy, and we saw a movie about Ramanuja, and it was so amazing to see this video, because to see about great personalities or great devotees, great acharyas like Ramanuja, it gives us so much inspiration to go deeper in our devotional service. Like, the main glories of devotees is their love and surrender to Krishna. And this is where we get our inspiration from to go deeper in our bhajan, our devotional service. So, always think of me, offer my obeisance to me. Like Krishna asks us in this way. It's really one of our main main activities in Krishna consciousness to always remember Krishna and never forget him. So that was my class, kind of. If you have any questions, comments, criticism, corrections. Yes. Yeah, that's not really what I wanted to say. I mean, friendship with devotees is also one of our main aspects. But I wanted in this lecture to emphasize to really, because then it can be the tendency that you just, you know, be outside with your whatsoever friends, devotees, whatsoever. But to really go deep, like, otherwise your chanting will be always like distracted, like what's going on, and this devotee did this, or the temple management has just this problem, or I have problems with this service. But to really just have the faith in Krishna. It's also one of the six surrenders which are written in Nectar of Devotion, to identify as a devotee of the Lord. You have to start identifying with what you are. If you're still in this bodily connection, I'm this body and the best friend of my body is this. It's kind of, you have to see that your relationship is with every soul. If you like the temporary habits of that spiritual soul or whatsoever, if you don't like it or not, it doesn't really matter. You just see the soul and it's part of Krishna, and you have the same love for that soul as for Krishna. Something else?
Yeah, I think
you're right. Okay, nice. Yeah, that's very nice. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.